So hello there, everybody out there in the general area of music videos. My name is Adam Farham, and welcome to the Music Video Land podcast. We're talking music videos. It's brought to you by the super unbelievable, would do anything for you, drive you to the hospital, help you move in. Friends at imvdb.com, Internet Music Video Database. We take music video information and we put it in a database for you to enjoy. Like I said, I'm Adam, and then we get to Doug over here. How are you doing, Doug?
Hey, doing super good. Doing great. Doug driving people to the hospital.
Yeah, Doug's driving people to the hospital all day, all night. He's in Florida. Then up in Canada, we have Mr. Adam Alexander, Fringe Music Fix. How's it going, Adam?
I'm doing fine tonight.
I'm glad you guys are both doing good, because I am not doing so good. I'm a little distressed because there were two breakups this week that had to do with music videos, and I'm a little, I have to admit, like, for real, I was a little upset that these two, because usually I'm like, haha, those people broke up, but now, for this one, the first one is the more high profile of the two, which is John Mayer and Katy Perry, who, like, just a few months ago, I had a music video where they're basically, you know, climbing all over each other, talking about how much they love each other.
Yeah, I think that the name of that song was John Mayer and Katy Perry Are in Love with Each Other Forever. That was the name of the song.
And there were three heart emojis after that.
Right.
And then the other one actually is I think, a little more relevant to music videos, even though Katy Perry and John Mayer had a music video together, and that is Robin Thicke and Paula Patton broke up. And they were sort of, during all the controversy around the Blurred Lines video, Robin Thicke kind of had to defend him. I mean, it was kind of like built up that Robin Thicke was kind of like a one woman guy, and he had this super hot wife or girlfriend or whatever. I guess I didn't do too much research on this, and that they were okay and they're like super in love, and now they're broken up. So I'm gonna watch the Blurred Lines video in a different light now.
Yeah, it's gonna have a new meaning, as will the VMA performance.
VMA performance? Oh yeah, that's, well, maybe, you know, apparently like he's trying to get her back. And she's the one who's, like, breaking up with him. So maybe all of his... Maybe that was, like, the straw that broke the camel's back several months ago. And now it's just bubbling to the surface.
The Miley that broke the camel's back.
Miley's... We're just going to label her a homewrecker right now in front of
her. Oh, that's... Let's do that. Let's do that. Let's do that. People will love that. So yeah, those were sad. I didn't know too much about the Robin Thicke one beyond what came up in my Facebook trending topic section. But I knew a little bit more about the Katy Perry one because that they were in a music video together.
Yeah, with the Mechanical Bull, remember that one?
Yeah, it was a great Sophie Muller, whatever one. Go with whatever.
We've talked about her on the podcast like 14 times, and we still every time do not know how to pronounce her name.
We never say it.
Well, Sophie M.
Sophie, if you want to come on the podcast and set us straight.
Sophie, who's always listening, but never reaching out. Sophie, we'll call her just Sophie. She could go by that. We'll know what we're talking about. I literally cannot think of another Sophie off the top of my head.
Sophie's choice. And right. We should talk a little bit about, I think it might be good to talk about a little bit more newsy stuff at the top of the podcast before we get into the music videos. Because there was something that came out today, Thursday, February 27th. That I find very interesting, and I think everybody else will too, and that is the Kanye West film. And I say film because this is going to come out, apparently, in actual theaters, ones that you buy a ticket for and you walk in and sit down with popcorn.
Yeah.
And it
the
is...
place where you just saw Lego Movie.
Exactly. You are going to see, and it will be directed by none other than Mr. Hype Williams.
I saw Hype Williams' last movie in theaters.
Which what was that?
I saw Belly in theaters when I was like in eighth grade.
Was that his last movie?
I don't know. I just wanted to brag about seeing Belly. Come on, every opportunity you get that you went to Magnolia in Coral Springs to see Belly, you got to take that.
It's right there. Reach out and grab it. Have you ever seen a Hype Williams movie, Adam? I have never seen one.
I don't believe. I'd have to check. I'm not sure.
You guys should see Belly. I think it provides some context for Hype Williams. It's like a beautifully. It looks like a music video in a lot of it, but you know, it's full of actors trying to rap. Who, you know, and not just like it's not as bad as like the Cash Money Records movies that used to come out, or like, you know, like Baller Blockin'. I don't know if you guys, I like rap a lot in high school, and it's great. And so there was a Cash Money Records movie that came out called Baller Blockin', where they were like just like drug dealers and killers, like in New Orleans, and it was like everybody. I think Juvenile was the star, maybe, but like everybody was in it. BG and Lil Wayne and the Big Timers. The whole crew, Young Turk, wait, I'm swinging this back around. Don't worry.
No. I have a question.
Belly's actually a movie. Belly's actually like it's rappers who've acted in other movies. DMX and Method Man and Nas, they've all, I don't know how many things Nas have done, but DMX was in a lot of movies during that era, as was Method Man, continues to do a lot of acting. So it wasn't just like Juvenile trying to act. It was actually people with some chops. But it was still Belly is still not a good movie.
What's funny, you know, there's, now that you bring it up, there is a pretty sizable genre of, well, 50 Cent had a movie. He had Get Rich or Die Trying, I think was the name of the movie, right?
Right, so those are different. Those actually like came out in theaters, because that came after Eminem in 8 Mile, which I think is, you know, looking back, it's not as good as it was when I watched it the first time, but like, this, it was still like a pretty decent movie, and I think Eminem played a decent part. I never watched the 50 Cent one, actually.
Neither did I know. But I heard it was decent.
I've seen Romeo Must Die and all the movies that DMX did with Jay-Z and Aaliyah and all those movies. And obviously Method Man has done some good stuff. I think that, you know, How High with him and Redman isn't bad, and you know, for that type of movie. I think he and Redman are decent actors together. So, they're not a joke.
Well, the thing that we don't know now is, because as is Kanye West's way, whenever he announces something, you just go to KanyeWest.com and there's some mysterious thing on there. But pretty much every time he has, there must be, like Consequences of Sound and Pitchfork and all these places, there must be an intern whose job is just to refresh KanyeWest.com. But there's a little, that might not be a bad job. I'd go for that if the pay was decent. And so he has a little trailer there, and we're not really super sure what this is all about, because some of it is actual, like, looks like concert footage. Some of it looks staged. But then we also know that author of American Psycho, Bret Easton Ellis, is working with Kanye West on this. So there's got to be some sort of narrative element, and Hype Williams is involved. So I'm really interested to see what happens here.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Like some of the stuff that looks like shot footage could conceivably be part of the stage show in one way or another, either on like a projected screen or something like that. You know, I've heard that the Yeezus tour is kind of remarkable, and so I didn't go, and I haven't really seen much footage outside of like my dumb friends posting stuff on Instagram of it, but I hear that it's quite
sorry to your dumb friends.
but I hear it was pretty like I said, remarkable. Like, it was a pretty big deal.
Wait, Adam, you wouldn't go to a Kanye West show?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Definitely. We'll be looking forward to that. That is one of those rare, I mean, this seems like a very interesting project. Obviously, one of the most name brand music video directors out there, Hype Williams, is directing this for one of the largest artists out there, and it's a feature film, which will be in a theater. Kanye West is very interested in kind of bringing. Well, he already did. Remember, he did the Runaway film, which I think it was something like 40 minutes long. I think it's going to be something similar to that, where it's kind of like an art concept film with some small narrative elements. So we'll be taking a look at that, keeping an eye on that.
How do you feel, though? Like, I was initially bummed. Like, it looks really, like, seeing the trailer, this went away a little bit, but just hearing that it was going to be Hype Williams, like, in part of me, like, wished it wasn't. It was somebody, like, from this era of music video directors, somebody who's doing stuff now more frequently. I hate that, like, you know, if you need a big name music video director, you're still reaching at Hype Williams. I'm not saying that he can't necessarily bring something to the table, but I feel like the people doing newer stuff are doing more unique stuff. And but then I saw the trailer and it looked pretty sweet, so I was a little bit that might have been dumb.
Yeah, but he's had a lot of great collaborations with Kanye West, and also, I mean, he's had some pretty sweet music videos recently. I mean, the Drunken Love video by Beyonce featuring Jay-Z was one of my favorite videos at the end of 2013. So it's not like he's like bringing him up out of the farm leagues or anything like that, or retirement.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's a good point. But still, but whatever. Like I said, the trailer looks sweet. But you did bring up Beyonce, so I think that's a sweet segue for to talk about a video that technically was released to the world late last year, but was released on the internet this week, and that's Beyonce's Partition.
Yeah, because this one is one of those things where Beyonce released her record, and if you bought like the thing on iTunes or wherever you bought it, you got all the videos so you can watch them, yourself, hooray. But she's only released these trailers for everything else, and she's only released, I think, two. She released EXO and Drunken Love, and this is the first one, I think, like after that. I mean, it's been a few months. It hasn't
Yeah,
been like a steady stream.
and no, and EXO and Drunken Love came out the same day, like
Yeah.
within a, like 12 hours of each other.
So this is
So,
Jake Nava, who has, I mean, if you look at his history of music videos, I mean, he's directed some really big music videos for Beyonce. He's like kind of a longtime collaborator, even more than Hype Williams is, with Beyonce. He did the Single Ladies video in 2008, as well as, If I Were a Boy and Crazy in Love. So they're kind of like the biggest, singles for Beyonce. And
and
this
he's
is,
and he did and he's done he did three off of this album.
yes. Blue Ghost and Partition. So Doug, you were a big fan of this video. What do you think?
I definitely was a big fan of this video. Personally, I think it was I would say it was my favorite from the three that have been released so far. I just think like I think that it's just a really like unique and visually appealing video. I think for Beyonce, that's not true. Cut that out. Those words. No, but I just think like I was really drawn to this video. Like obviously it's an incredibly sexy video and like it's taking like Beyonce like she really kind of like doesn't really hold anything back, which seems to be a little bit of a trend. It's kind of the case in the Drunken Love video as well. And Adam, I know that you've complained publicly about the fact that you're not a fan of the Beyonce and Jay-Z having sex songs. And I think this kind of is one of those too. She's kind of doing like this really like awesome looking like striptease scene with like Jay-Z looking there smoking a cigar. But like I just thought that the way this video was composed and like the way it just like I was really drawn to the visuals, the projection that they use and all the colors and the silhouettes and stuff. I really just enjoyed the way this video looked and I like how it kind of is bookended by that like with that little narrative element and how it comes back at the end as well of her like in that kind of like posh mansion environment and that like little narrative to that story, that little storyline there. I really enjoyed that part too.
Yeah, I love it too. It's a good video. Yeah, I love that bum shot too.
Yeah,
Happened.
well, yeah. That's what I didn't say bum shot,
I'm
but
gonna go to the bum shot. It was a different kind of bum shot. I haven't quite seen one quite like that. Is she sitting on a piano? She's sitting on a piano, right?
I don't know. She's sitting on
Some
something.
sort of
She's sitting on
reflective
something.
surface. Yeah, this there's not a lot going on in Beyonce's music these days beyond graphic descriptions of her and Jay-Z having sex. And I just, that's fine. I'm happy for them. I'm glad that their sex life is going strong and everything. But I
It
just
seems
want
healthy.
it seems healthy, yes. But it's just gross. I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to hear about it.
Very vivid.
I'm just jealous. I'm jealous.
I'm not
That would be my only
jealous. Are
complaint.
you jealous of both of them?
Well, no, more I'm more jealous
Of
on
Jay-Z. Okay.
definitely.
I guess like in a certain level, like conceptually, like I have no physical desire to have sex with Jay-Z, but I guess like that would be sweet on just like an like the concept of it, I guess would be cool
What the
to
hell are
think
you
about.
talking
Bragging
about?
rights, bragging rights,
It's like a
definitely.
super famous guy, and like so to have like that close personal
I'm not
relationship with
gay,
somebody.
but there was
I
that
know,
one time with
I have no
Jay-Z.
physical desire to do it whatsoever, but the concept of it is appealing, I guess, to be able to get that close with anyone that famous.
See, I'm not even... Maybe I'm the odd guy out here, but I'm not really that attracted to Beyonce. I don't know.
Well, I think she's definitely a pretty lady. I don't think that she's the prettiest lady I've ever seen in my life.
No.
Like some people would probably argue, but
she's like the whole package entertainer deal, right? That's part of the appeal, I think. That adds some points. That she can sing and dance and looks great and everything else. It's like, yeah.
It's funny that you said that adds, because at first I thought you said dad ass. It was really close.
Back to and that.
But you
right already back to the bum.
Yeah, right. You were already there. But no, she's a whole package type of performer for sure. But in terms of what Adam's saying, I still think she's a pretty lady. So that's just me. I guess I'm weird.
Yeah, you're super weird for thinking Beyonce is attractive. That's very deviant.
How dare I?
Am I on the right microphone?
Oh shit.
Damn it. I'm on the internal microphone. Why don't you guys ignore me?
I mean, you sounded alright to me.
Whatever, I'll turn it on the real one now.
Now I see the difference.
God damn it. Did it sound really shitty before?
No, it did sound really different.
It sounded like my mic.
But it just sounds... You definitely sound a lot more Quiet Storm.
Well, that's me. That's a Quiet Storm. So there we go. This is a... You know, there's... Everything on this record and all these videos revolves around Beyonce. It basically all boils down to Beyonce and Jay-Z's sex life. I'm trying to think of what it reminds me of.
I don't know. There's something that sets this apart from what like John Mayer and Katy Perry did in that video. That there's something that irritates me less about the way that Jay-Z and Beyonce do it. I don't know what.
Well, there was in the Katy Perry John Mayer Who You Love video. There was 0% sex. They were fully clothed and like hugging each other from they're like doing hover hands.
And they're.
They're hover handing while people like wrote a mechanical bull in the background. There was nothing.
It's unnatural, right? Like, I don't think Beyonce fucking strips for Jay-Z with projections on her, but like, I feel like, you know, Beyonce in her life has danced awesome, and Jay-Z in his life had sat back with a cigar and looked cool. And they put those things together, it makes sense because they're married. So I think that's why it works a little bit more. I don't think Katy Perry or John Mayer have ever rode a mechanical bull together. I don't think that they've ever had hover hand with each other. I think it's only been physical contact beyond that. And so I think it's really it wasn't as natural in that video.
They're not having physical contact anymore.
No, but during that time of that video, like, they probably were. Like, I don't think you're like off camera. It's like, oh, Katie, yeah, let's ride a mechanical bull. Like, I don't think that's how John Mayer and Katy Perry's relationship worked out. I have no idea.
They just held hands.
It just doesn't seem like what pop stars actually do.
Speculation, rampant. Actually, speaking of Katy Perry, I wanted to mention. I'll link to this article, but I was really shocked to find out that the cover of Teenage Dream is a painting. Did you guys know this?
No.
With her naked on the clouds?
I knew it because I read your article.
Adam, did you read the article I wrote?
No, I didn't see that one.
Okay.
That's interesting, though. It's a painting.
Well, it's by an artist named Will Cotton, and if you look at his paintings, like the whole Katy Perry Teenage Dream, everything about that whole tour and the album art, everything visual about her in that, like, from 2000, you know, 10 to 2012 or 13, like, makes sense. It's all in there. Like, even like the can't, like, and he was an artistic, he was an art director on the California Girls video. He made the board game that Snoop Dogg, you know, throws the dice with, and a lot of the different props and things like that. So it's interesting.
It is a painting. You can tell.
Yeah, I
when
never
you really look,
and I just had always assumed it was just a picture.
Yeah.
So there was a Katy Perry was also in the news this week a little bit. We Facebooked about it. I guess it's worth mentioning her Dark Horse video that came out last week. Featured very briefly a man wearing like hundreds of necklaces. Among those necklaces was a one with a charm with the word Allah on it, and this is the guy that like kind of melts into sand. She turns him into sand, and there was a change.org petition put up by a man in the UK, I believe, who called the video highly offensive and got, you know, like 60 plus thousand signatures on this petition. And in result, they removed the charm. They essentially just painted it out in the video. And there's now a new version of that video at the same place. View count stayed the same, that kind of thing on YouTube. They just replaced the file, it seems.
Kudos to the guy who spotted that thing, because even in the side-by-side image, it took me like seriously like 2 or 3 minutes to find out what was changed. It was
like, and I wasn't gonna put a Reddit arrow in there or anything.
No,
like that.
You gotta make it a little more challenging. It was like one of those, like, you know, spot the differences ones, and I just and I was having a really tough time for it. So anybody who, and it's not even like you know, Helvetica, Allah, you know, it's like a super, you know, crazy font and stuff like that.
I think that version of the word Allah, I think, is like a symbol that is recognizable. But it's like this guy has, like, there are a bunch of different, he's wearing one with a pharaoh on it. He's wearing one with the Maybach Music Group label. He does. It's still there. There's a Maybach Music Group charm on the necklace. Like, it's clearly like a joke. She gets Twinkies 8 minutes later, or 8 seconds later. And so, like, whatever. It's not highly offensive, but I think people just signed it. Some people probably just signed it to, like, whatever. And maybe some people were offended. I can't say that they weren't. But either way.
People who sign change.org petitions for fun.
Well, why not? Well, I mean, it's the internet, dude. So, like, people do weird shit on the internet. And so, yeah, probably. And people, like, don't like Katy Perry for whatever reason. Could have done it. Who knows? Who knows? I can't pretend to be able to know why people.
John Mayer commissioned all the signatures.
It's still, like, such a small number. I mean, the video has been viewed by 35 million people, and it got 65. It's got 65,000 signatures. I mean, it got more downvotes on YouTube. So, you know, those people could have just as easily, anyone who takes the time to downvote a video on YouTube is also would be the type of person to take the time to sign a change.org petition. But either way, removed, not there anymore.
That's the easiest way to deal with it, though. I mean, it was probably some, you know, set dresser who is obviously a very good set dresser. It's a very colorful, interesting looking video, and they just threw that on there. Maybe they didn't even know what it was. I certainly couldn't look at it and tell you. If you told me, here, take half an hour and try to find Allah in this picture, I couldn't do it.
Right.
Or take a weekend and try to find, you know, something offensive in this Katy Perry video to anybody who would take offense to that sort of thing. So I just, you know, just do it, you know. I think that was the right move. Just do it, you know. Keep the view count. Obviously, they worked with YouTube on that, and
but here's the thing, that you are, like, you didn't notice it, right? When nobody really noticed it, and maybe like a handful of people did. But you know why people? You know what? People fucking notice it now because of this change.org thing. Like, this is bringing attention to it. It's not like it was something that wasn't that big of a deal. Not nobody, but most people probably didn't recognize it. And in the change.org petition, it literally is like he's got it circled, like clearly circled it in Microsoft Paint, because it's like all rigid, the circle. and it's really thin, like he didn't even thicken the line, and it's just like a thin 1 pixel wide red circle around it, and it's like everyone's offended by this. And anyway.
Well, luckily it was something easy to take out. It's funny because in the screenshot, it's like very obviously just like Photoshop smudge tool out.
Right. It's not like
they didn't replace it with anything. I think you could even see like the chain like just go to a point, and then there's just, you know,
just nothing, just more chest. It's like, yeah, he's wearing one of those nothing charms.
So,
anyway,
so speaking of controversy. one of the
well,
the movie.
I guess there is another controversial video they put this week. If you want, it's kind of popular. I don't know. Should we that Rick Ross one a little bit? Not controversial, really. He just like did a song with Puff Daddy over Biggie Smalls' beat, and that's dumb.
I didn't even hear about that, so I don't even know what.
So we won't even talk about it. There's some stuff in Fort Lauderdale though. Some, and I told Adam Alexander to make sure to watch it.
Did you watch it, Adam?
I watched it. Yeah.
Did you recognize Fort Lauderdale in the background?
No.
Well, that's where Rick Ross was shot. So at the beginning, like, so they use "You're Nobody Till Somebody Kills You," which is a Biggie Smalls song. Puff Daddy's in the video, and it's Rick Ross instead of Biggie Smalls. And like at the beginning of the video, like it's kind of like you hear news reports about like a rapper being shot. You hear like police phone calls and stuff. And you think that it could, like, knowing the situation, like you think that it could be talking about Biggie, but then you hear that it's like in Fort Lauderdale and you realize, you know, South Florida rapper, and you realize that he's talking about Rick Ross instead. Because yeah, Rick Ross was shot at, I think it was last year, in downtown Fort Lauderdale.
Getting shot in downtown Fort Lauderdale is that's the worst place to get shot, because it just sucks away any sort of street cred from it.
downtown
Fort Lauderdale is not like a place. If I was shot in downtown Fort Lauderdale, I would be more concerned with people knowing that I was in downtown Fort Lauderdale.
It's even worse. Yeah. Even worse now. Like nothing. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. There's nothing. It's like, you know, that whole, there was like that whole downtown area that
the street there that they were.
Nothing. There's like two bars left over there. All
really?
All. Yeah. Two bars. Everything's gone. Everything's gone. The whole movie theater and shit. This is great for this podcast.
So Doug, can you clear something up for me? Because I haven't watched a lot of Rick Ross videos. Is shirtless Rick Ross a new thing?
No. Oh, no.
He does that.
He does it all the time.
Okay.
He does that very frequently. And this,
that's good
this,
to know.
Yeah, the song is called Nobody. It's directed by Dre Films, who is a South Florida-based director who directs basically all of the Maybach Music Group videos now. He's really plugged in with them. And, yeah, he's a... from South Florida as well. So South Florida ties in this Rick Ross Nobody video.
I don't think I've seen Rick Ross with a shirt on.
No, seriously.
Album. Yeah.
Or at least, like, you know, his buttons down to his, you know, midriff.
He's got some tats, eh? I guess he's showing off the tattoos.
Yeah, and his physique.
So showing off the physique. He's worked hard for that.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't come overnight, guys.
So. Oh, well, I think we should move on from Fort Lauderdale and talk a little bit about some of the videos that we enjoyed this week.
Not the popular ones?
Oh, we'll talk about the popular ones, because we have, I don't know if you guys watched this Coldplay one. This didn't cause a super amount of chatter, but it is number one.
Musically, it did.
Yeah, musically it did. This is the first Coldplay output in a while, and we're looking at around 4 million views. Only in a few days, so we're looking at a pretty decent one. But Adam, shed some light on this for us on the musical side, because is this part of like a new Coldplay album? Do you know?
Yeah, I think so. So I'm definitely torn into like a few different directions with this video. First of all, and the song itself. So the guy that produced the track, his name is John Hopkins, and he's actually a phenomenal electronic producer. He's done a whole bunch of really cool stuff the last few years. So he produced the instrumental for the track. But the thing that's causing some controversy in the indie scene is that this track bears a striking resemblance to Bon Iver. So I haven't really heard Coldplay's spin on this yet. I'm not sure if they're going to weigh in on it at all, but I'm sure there's been accusations that they're kind of copying his sound or his style. In terms of the video, I didn't think it was anything too outstanding. I think it's probably being driven by the fact that it's Coldplay. Did you guys like the video, or?
I put it in the category of those of like a visual concept video. Radiohead had one of those a decade ago, I guess now. let me just look it up.
Radiohead also ironically being another band that Coldplay has been accused of kind of ripping off, riding their coattails. Exactly. I don't really know how I feel about that, but...
And so the other one that this reminds me of is House of Cards 2008, directed by Radiohead, directed by James Frost. Just because it's, I mean, there the people were made up of sort of these... anyway, you should check it out. They're like kind of digital approximations of people using a lot of polygons. And this one, it's sort of like a, you know, night vision type of thing. But it's interesting that I hadn't heard about the Bon Iver similarities controversy, because there's been a few of those lately. I mean, Robin Thicke had one with Blurred Lines. I think there was a Marvin Gaye song that was similar too. And then I think the biggest one over the last year was the similarity of Brave by Sarah Bareilles. And Katy Perry's Roar. And they just kind of, right. They didn't, I don't think anything really came of it. I think they just sort of mutually enjoyed the attention. And
there's another one too, Bruno Mars and Breakbot. Breakbot. His name was Breakbot. His name is
Breakbot. Right, Breakbot. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, Breakbot calls out Bruno Mars at the end of 2012. Huh.
Yeah, it does sound a lot. I think it actually is. They've sampled it without.
Yeah, they both sampled the same song. The same song. The Breakbot song came out first. They both sampled the same song. But this Coldplay one, they're just saying that it sounds like a Bon Iver song.
Stylistically. Not stealing from any one song.
It's just like he's got that high pitched song and like kind of the same type of melody that you would expect from a Bon Iver song.
Right.
But whatever. Bon Iver, they didn't steal the exact thing. Yeah, he doesn't own that stuff. I mean, I guess maybe they did, and that's not neat. But you know, it's not like stealing.
And I mean, the big picture is that, like with music, is that all of these things are going to come back around. So that's just kind of the natural progression to me. Everything's going to sound like something at some point, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I didn't really even get that much of a Bon Iver sound from it.
There's definitely a Bon Iver sound.
It's there. It's there. But like, whatever. That's so what. Rick Ross used a Biggie beat and rapped with Puff Daddy. I think that's way worse. So
I don't know. I mean,
hip hop, like that just kind of happens way more frequently in hip hop. I mean, you know, rappers will put out mixtapes and stuff and use whatever beat they want. The song came out 2 days ago, and other rappers are already like, "Oh, I'm gonna get on that one."
Yeah.
So it's interesting how it's treated differently.
In hip hop, you can just take like Forever Young and just play that song, and then just rap over it, and then really sad as a song. It always reminds me of way way back in SNL days when Puff Daddy was on the Godzilla soundtrack, and he came out with that "Come With Me" song.
Yeah,
which was a cover, which was sampled the Led Zeppelin song. I can't remember what the name of the song is. Oh, "Come With Me." It is a Kashmir. So it's basically they use Kashmir, but there was that great thing they did on SNL with Tim Meadows playing Puff Daddy, and they're just playing Kashmir over it, just like very obviously. He's just saying, "Come with me, come with me." You know? Which is basically what it was. I mean,
right, exactly.
Anyway,
the best Puff Daddy appearance ever on SNL is still going to be, don't remember what I was going to say.
You had a piece of a memory there,
Andy Samberg. No, I don't care. Whatever.
So, you're going to have to start editing this one right after we go off the air. You're going to be busy.
No, you can leave that. I don't give a shit. Leave that in. I'm gonna,
so. So that was a pretty, I mean, as far as, it's actually by someone that I'm not familiar with the work at all, Mary Wigmore. We don't have anything else in the database for her, so I'm interested to see if we just don't, if this is one of her first videos, or we just don't have anything in the her catalog for her, but visually it was an interesting one. I mean, it kind of looks like a Bon Iver video, too. Now that I'm...
Yeah, but it doesn't, there's not a lot of thought, it doesn't seem like there was a ton of thought into the production aspect of this video. I mean, there's a section around the 2 minute point where they just have the camera set up and like the dude is just like sticking his arms out from behind trees and stuff. Like he's really just like, "All right, go out there and do some stuff." And he's just like swinging his arms around. Like, I think that the end product, it looks kind of cool at times. And I'm not saying they phoned it in or anything like that, but it was not a lot of.
No.
It seems that there wasn't a lot of pre-planning, at least in the production. Like, when shooting this video, it seems like it's like, all right, let's just run out in the forest real quick and sing the song. Like, I think.
And I mean, they know how to, they've been involved in some pretty cool videos, so they know how to you know, do something that stands out. So I don't really feel that they put a whole lot into this video either.
So this could be an instance of something that I think we need to identify a little bit more, and that is something called video malaise. And it is definitely something that hits artists at a certain point, because, you know, lest we forget that, you know, the directors and everybody put so much into these videos, but the artists kind of have to give a lot too. So I think in terms of, like, really big artists like Coldplay and, like, U2 and, you know, a few other artists that I could think of, I think at a certain point, I think doing something really big and really grand in terms of a video isn't as important to them. More important is getting something out, kind of. I know this happened to, I know this isn't the greatest example, but I just know their catalog very well. The Bare Naked Ladies, they hit a point where they just didn't want to deal with it anymore, and they were releasing a lot of animated videos and you know, kind of crowdfunded videos where they passed the work on to other people, and it was easier for them. And I know they basically said as much, that, you know, they just were tired of doing videos. So nothing against Mary Wigmore. It just seems like this may be, you know, an instance of that.
Yeah, I'm like
a good example that speaks to that too. Is that, did you guys see that Noel Gallagher video that kind of circulated the internet?
Yeah.
Did you see that one, Adam?
Of him doing like the director commentary, doing like commentaries on all their videos. Yeah, that was fantastic. He's just
ripping
them apart.
You got to watch that. It's hilarious. You should link to that in the footnotes of this podcast too. It's an awesome watch, actually.
I saw people mentioning it, and everybody
Watch it.
There's one point where he's just like tearing music videos and music video directors apart. He's like, everyone who makes them thinks they're making Apocalypse Now, and like, I did a terrible action.
Oh, it's great.
But it was so good. But yeah, I feel like I'm not going to pretend to have been on a ton of sets, but I've been on a couple of music video sets with some artists who have been making music videos for 10, 20 years. And some of the videos that they've been in have been really huge music videos, and now they just get so upset. They want nothing more than to stop making the music video while they're shooting it. Not everybody, but like,
no, I was gonna say,
it's like, definitely it definitely exists. I've seen it.
I think you can tell when it's happened. Like, I look at an artist like somebody like Bjork, who like consistently makes these amazing videos that obviously encompass her vision for her art. And I can't see her being bored of making music videos.
Yeah,
she's got to still love it.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Still want to do something with it. Obviously, she's made such. She's established something. So.
But I think it's I think that's something we should kind of tag as a known entity, like when somebody enters that video malaise period. Because, yeah, I agree, Adam. I don't think Bjork is going to enter that. But it's something that's sort of just expected of artists. I mean, what if you just don't care about that side? I mean, what if you just are not just a visual person? I know there are artists out there who, you know, the music is everything, and even making music videos is kind of against their belief system. But they are beholden to record labels, they're beholden to fans and things like that, and that kind of stuff has to come out. So, I think big bands can kind of get burnt out of that, especially because they are expected. I mean, think of, you know, Katy Perry, who's an artist who's in, you know, my age, you know, 29-ish, and she's in the prime of her career. And the amount of energy she has to invest into music videos, because she knows that it's going to be, you know, hundreds of millions of views. That's just nothing. Something she can blow off in 20 years. Is that going to be at the top of her priority list as much as it is now? You know, probably not. So
no, she's like, I don't want another motherfucking change.org petition about my shit. Just give me a break. And so, yeah, I think she will. But she's still going strong now. But yeah, you're right. I do think some artists, there's a handful of artists who hold on and who are like, no, this stuff still matters. I was looking for a prime example, and I think you hit it on the head there with Bjork, Adam. That's the one. There are other ones that exist. You know, I'd rather them try for something big and unique and fail than just like, let's run around in the forest and change the and make it infrared or something. You know, like for example, like I wasn't a huge fan of much of Kanye West's music videos in 2013. They didn't really resonate with me that I think that they were intended to resonate with people, but at least he was trying to do different things with the medium still and like do stuff that's unique and make an impact, you know. So you know, that I there is, but there is a point where some of them stop. Some of those dudes stop.
Well, let's take a look at an artist and also a director, both in their prime, who had one of my favorite videos of the week this year, and that is Haim with If I Could Change Your Mind, directed by Warren Fu. This is a combination that, like, I was so excited to see as soon as they announced that this video was happening. One of my favorite new bands, and a director who not only is a really talented director, but also has like a really defined style, and just has a really amazing eye for things. So this video surprised me, but in a really, really good way.
Yeah, this is definitely my favorite video of the week, I think. So we'll mark that as well.
It's a triple threat.
Yeah, I was
that doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, this is everyone's favorite. I mean, this is just such a fantastic video. I think it showcases Haim really well and puts them in a light that we really hadn't seen them in. I think, you know, obviously we've been paying attention to them for a while with their really great videos from 2013 and late 2012. Directed by Austin Peters all the way up until now. I mean, they put out really great music videos, and then I think that they really got a lot of national attention when they played SNL not too long ago. And I think you know, now they're playing like, I think something like 15 of these festivals now, and they're really starting to get around, and I think that this video is like perfectly timed for that little run there, and yeah, it's such a great video. You know, they did some subtle dance moves in some of those Austin Peters videos, but this one they're doing like full on choreography, and it's like really interesting. Like, it's definitely not like you know, like crazy complex choreography, but at the same time, it's really like kind of, I don't know. I was really drawn to it, and I really enjoyed watching it.
I love the hanging Haim neon sign in the back. Yeah. That was an awesome touch.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's a cool, like, font. It looks good.
And that's something that as soon as I saw that, that's like very Warren Fu style.
Definitely.
That was the, because there's not a lot, there's almost nothing in this video except for the Haim sisters, and that sign pretty much.
Yeah, but, a lot of his music videos have that. It's kind of like an 80s vibe that exists, I think, in the Daft Punk videos, the Instant Crush, sure. Even Lose Yourself, as well as the the Must Be a Feeling by Nero from 2012. Yeah,
that video definitely, this video had a little bit of that that vibe for me. But we should, in terms of choreography, we should say that this wasn't just choreography. This is choreography by Fatima Robinson, who is kind of, you know, you've definitely seen her choreography in music videos, probably most famously in My Humps by Black Eyed Peas, where she was not only a director, but a choreographer as well. She was also a choreographer for, most recently, for the Dilly video for Band of Horses, as well as, you know, That Power by will.i.am. And of course, If I Could Change Your Mind. So she's a,
and Fergalicious. Well, she directed Fergalicious.
She directed Fergalicious, but even though that has a little bit of dancing, but I think she definitely had a lot of hand in that. But a lot of her videos that she's directed have dancing elements in them.
Yeah. So this was a great video. Definitely a trifecta, hat trick for this video for you Canadians.
Nice.
Out there. Who know what that means.
Doug has a hat trick Wikipedia page open right now.
I do. It's weird because it even exists. So should we talk about some of the other videos we liked from this week, though, even though that one was everyone's favorite?
No, I think we're done here. No, yeah, we should.
No more talk.
I think we should. I just wanted to mention real quick that a Carmen video came out this week,
late last week,
and I Carmen continues to drift further away from sanity, and I just don't understand any of it. But we don't need to talk about it. I just wanted to mention that is out there.
They were way better when they were just sitting at the piano, and they weren't even good then.
No, it was that when she got rid of the suicide roll hairdo. I think I'm all for artists changing, but you gotta. The straight hair isn't doing it for me. Anyway, we could switch gears a little bit. So one of the ones I wanted to talk about, which is a little bit on a different track than these music videos that we've been talking about so far, is a documentary style music video, Hers by Tommy Cruise, directed by Martin C. Parasow, and it follows this dude. His name is Bogdan. And he is in he's somebody who has Asperger's. He is in a pre-grad, educational institution in Quebec, near Montreal. Did I say Quebec right, Adam?
Yeah, you got her.
Okay, good. I've heard it pronounced like 14 different ways.
Yeah, there's lots of ways.
Yeah, and it's documentary style. It's basically voiceovers from him where we kind of go through his. Not his daily routine of him like brushing his teeth, but just sort of him in the spaces of his life. And he's in this pre-grad, you know, program. We don't see anybody else in this. We literally do not see anybody else. It is just him, and we see some dogs. But you definitely get the sense that he's isolated. And as he says many times in the video, you know, music is his, you know, both his passion and his escape from. You know, the situation that he's in, which I think may be against his will a little bit. So it's a really, you know, and he always has headphones on. You don't see a lot of documentary stuff. We see maybe one or two every week. And I love documentaries, so I always make sure to watch them. And this one just was so well done to me that it definitely caught my eye when you staff picked this one, Doug.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one too. It was really fascinating. It definitely seems like he's like confined and he's not he's not there by choice. It would appear. I agree. And it's just really interesting. I don't know too much about Asperger's. My sister and my mom have both worked in the special education field, and they have some familiarity with it. But you know, like I mentioned, he speaks several languages, and it's weird to see someone who on the surface looks like why is this person? It's not really shown like a reason why he would be at this place.
And when he's in the voiceovers, he's really well spoken. Like it's not that much of a surprise that he speaks, you know, six languages. He seems like a really kind of definitely intelligent person. He talks about how he likes analog music, you know, the analog format over, you know, the digital, you know, CDs or, you know, digital processed music. So he's definitely super into music. Another interesting one that we should definitely touch on a little bit is the 5 Seconds of Summer video, She Looks So Perfect, directed by Frank Borin.
That's taking it to a different direction. That's cool.
Yeah.
This is a fun video.
This is, whenever I see a video in the band, you know, like five kids basically look like, you know, 18-year-olds, that's, you know, usually the videos aren't super great for those ones, so I kind of, my eyes glaze over a little bit, but this one was definitely different, because they start out, you know, playing in an alleyway, and then there's all these different scenes going on, and, you know, you think the video is kind of starting out normal. And then everybody starts taking their clothes off. No matter what kind of physical shape they're in, there's all different kinds. And they just start dancing. Police officers, waiters, people in prison. It's
right. The prison people. Because that's when the ridiculousness starts. Like the music starts to like kind of build a little bit, and you see people kind of like reacting to the music and stuff. And then like the chorus kicks in, and the dudes in the prison who have what look like really heavy like like weights and shit, or just like lifting them above their head and spinning them around and stuff. And so that's when things start getting a little messy. This was an incredibly popular video this week. And yeah, it featured a lot of naked people. They definitely had some you know, model type people, but also some not as model type people getting naked. And that's essentially the whole thing. And then the people start throwing their clothes at the band. And that's it. That's the narrative.
That's it. That you can fit that on a treatment.
You can.
It's a one pager.
You just show pictures of hot and not hot people dancing.
The band is about to get in their underwear, and then the TV fizzles out. So all the people who wanted that have been thwarted.
Yeah,
they look at each other.
They do. They look at each other like, "We'll do it. I guess we'll do it. It's what everyone's doing."
That's what, you know. And these kids, they don't. None of them look a day over 16.
Oh no, these kids are young. They might be. They could be brothers. That's not uncommon. I think isn't there only three? Oh no, there's more than three because there's the drummer.
Maybe they like hired the drummer. I don't know.
Hey drummer, no, he was cool. He's the first band member that they show.
Wow, that's weird that you knew that off the top of your head. But
no, because it's like a thing. They show like lady at the store, cop, like prison dude, and then like go to that guy, and then he hits the drum.
You've memorized
it's like,
this.
It's like a thing. I wrote a blog post about this video, guys. So,
Adam, do you have anything that we should know about this week?
I want Adam.
Definitely. I do have one.
Maya video.
Yeah, that's the one I was gonna do, and it was courtesy of Doug. Doug brought this one to my attention. This is a really cool video. The track is called "We Shall Not Disappear." And this video combines, this video is the type of sexy that is my favorite, which is like totally weird and fucked up sexy. That's definitely my favorite kind. And this thing is weird. It's basically,
if you just look at the screenshot, you know,
that's all you have to look at. The cucumber face lady that did it.
Oh, they
changed. Right,
actually, they changed the screenshot. Now it's a lady with a cherry in her mouth, and it looks.
Oh, also a good. That's also a highlight for me. The cherry in the mouth, the reverse cherry in the mouth. But yeah, the video is sort of a weird little experimental electronic track, and we get shots of like insects and fruit and mushrooms and different things, interwoven with shots of like super super close up nudity, so like a nipple that fills like the whole video shot, and it's quite an arousing video. It's super weird, and I love
we now know that about you.
You certainly do, whether you wanted to or not.
I see a Chinese finger trap in there. They got the Chinese finger trap in there. Yeah, there's some really interesting shots in here and a lot of interesting images. There's, what's that show that used to start with? Something really up close. A few shows have done this.
Well, Dexter kind of has that.
Dexter, yeah. And then also Rugrats. Yeah, Rugrats did that. I think Breaking Bad did that a lot. They kind of floated in and out of that, but that some of these shots kind of are like, I had to kind of like pause it and be like, "Ooh, what's that?" Like, there's a patch of hair. I'm trying to get the time code for you guys.
Yeah, I think there's pubic hair, but there's also some armpit hair.
Yeah, no, well, the
different points.
37 seconds. I'm 95% sure that's pubic hair, but
yeah, that's pubic hair. I think so.
And then it goes right to the mushroom, and then there's a cactus. It's just, it's, and I don't know,
I like food too. This has
yeah,
a lot
I was
of
gonna
food
say.
And dessert, and nipples. It's good. Yeah, I like it. It's a good thing.
And yeah, and I like, for some reason, the sprinkles on the skin were also a nice touch. I don't know why.
My favorite shot is the closing shot where the girl is exhaling some orange smoke. I just love the way that it looked. Like this, I don't know. I can't even explain this video. It's crazy. But I'm gonna have to write about it this week because it's gonna be in my column for sure.
Oh, listen to that! How about that? He's in the column. He's in the column. And hey gang. I want to direct everyone to Adam Alexander's interview that came out earlier this week from also a kind of sexy video. Why don't you talk a little bit about that if we're done talking about this Maya video.
I think we're done talking about
it. Just one more thing is that if you if you kind of go through it a little bit, I'm a little bit disturbed by the inclusion of cucumbers with because it's they're placed in with other sweet candy stuff. So there's like a cake and some like peanut M&Ms, and Ek and I know they're M&Ms because I can see a little M on them. And but then there's cucumbers everywhere. For some reason, cucumbers are always in the mix, ruining things. Because obviously those flavors don't go together. So that I don't know if that was intentional or not. But that's the one thing that kind of weird makes me uncomfortable.
The cucumbers.
Yeah.
Anyway. I get that.
If this wasn't cut out, then I've just wasted 15 or 30 seconds of your life. But anyway, please proceed.
Okay, so Adam Alexander came out of the interview this week. Talk about it.
Yeah, so I had a chance to do an interview with director Scott Cudmore on his video for a little bit hard to say their band name. They're a Canadian band. Timber, I think maybe it's Tambra. It could be a French word. I'm not sure if they're from Montreal. I should know that, but I don't. So I got to ask him a few questions about this video, which is for Hot Dreams. It's set in a strip club. And a lot of the questions that I asked kind of centered around the fact that the video is shot in kind of a different context than what you would normally expect for a video shot in a strip club. So it's not done in a raunchy or an exploitative way. It more takes like an artistic look at exotic dancing and possibly some of the people that inhabit these videos or these establishments. And yeah, he was able to confirm all kinds of different things about why they decided to shoot it in a strip club and just all kinds of different things to do with how the video could have been controversial because it does have some nudity, but it doesn't really go there. And he shed some light on that as well. So yeah, it's definitely his answers were definitely very interesting. So
yeah, he was super candid. And we've talked to Scott a bunch. He's been on this very podcast. And yeah, he was super cool to answer those questions for Adam.
Canadian dude.
Yeah, Canadian connection there between the two Adams.
Definitely.
He's, I think he's in Toronto based, so you guys could have done it over coffee instead of email.
That would have been sweet.
Tim Hortons because, coffee. Yeah, you guys could, I'm sure you guys are like hours away too.
Definitely. That's 4 hours.
That's fine. It's worth it.
My first time on a strip club set was when I was an intern for the film adaptation of the musical Rent. And it was 2 days in the Cat Scratch Club.
Which how was that?
Watching Rosario Dawson dance over and over again all day in a stripper outfit.
Does that sound like a bad day.
It was well after the 100th take, it was it got a little tiring. But other than that, it was pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you been to a strip club under normal pretenses?
I have. You know what? I'm gonna put this out there honestly on the podcast for everybody here. I have not, and I know I've grown up in the land where in South Florida where strip clubs are like built into Walgreens in the way that see you know they have their little Minute Clinic things, but I have not. No.
How about you, Adam Alexander? You mentioned in the interview that you've been into some dives.
Been into some dives. Not many, granted, but enough to know what a dive strip club is like, where the stripper may or may not be pregnant at the
time. I think we ended there, because we all know the answer to Doug's to asking Doug that question.
Yeah, I don't need to answer that question. That's...
So anyway, everybody, you know where to find us. Go do the thing. Go to the internets. I want to direct your attention, if you're listening to this in February, in March, we're launching a very large update to IMVDB. So if you're
sweet,
if you're looking at a calendar and you're thinking, oh, it's March, then turn on your computer machine, you know, fire up the 56K modem. And point your Netscape browser to imvdb.com and see what we have in store. All sorts of fun stuff that we've been working on for months, so we're very excited to get that out there. Check it out, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, everybody.